And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, being heard around the world. WWCR, that's Worldwide Christian Radio out of Nashville, Tennessee. Of course, we broadcast from our studio and our ministry offices in Austin, Texas. We're down Patterson Road, 1708 Patterson Road, here in Austin, Texas. We've been here for many years. And as you know, the ministry itself, Power of Prophecy, has, well, we've been in existence for a quarter of a century, a little bit more, in fact, I think a quarter of a century, doing the work that God has given us to do, telling the truth, being truth tellers in an age of, well, lies. George Orwell, you know, the famous writer of 1984, once said that telling the truth in an age of deceit is a revolutionary thing. You're a revolutionary simply for telling the truth. We're immersed in a world of lies, a surrealistic world. Last month, I did a program. You know, I have this series called Down the Rabbit Hole, and sort of a takeoff from Alice in Wonderland, and how the young girl found herself as she went down the rabbit hole, and she suddenly was in a wholly different world, sort of similar to little Dorothy from Kansas and the Wizard of Oz. And little Dorothy said, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. Well, folks, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in America. We're not on planet Earth anymore. We are living, very regrettably, a lie. In fact, we have a cascade of lies. What is a cascade? Well, it really means an avalanche. They're just coming down on us. They're raining. It's raining lies. And of course, the people who create these lies, who manufacture them, these fictitious myths, are liars. The Bible tells us that all liars will find their place in the fires of hell. Isn't that interesting? It's because I'm very sure that Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Why would he say he's the way and the truth? Truth must be very important for Jesus to identify himself and to really take, you might say, the name of truth to himself. That's why here at Power of Prophecy, we're pretty big on telling the truth. Does the telling the truth hurt? It sure can. I mean, God never said tell the truth and, you know, everything will be all rosy and, you know, I'll shower you with all kind of good things. The devil, of course, is the father of the lie, and he will shower you with things. He'll beat on your head and, well, attempt to crush you and suppress all truth. Last month when we had our Down the Rabbit Hole Volume 4, and this is Volume 5 today, you see, we've already had 5 months of Down the Rabbit Hole segments, you might call it. And last month, I mentioned to you that the government wants to get into your head. We conceive, and I'm sure many of our founding fathers, conceived of the government as simply a collection of men who wish to serve us. And really, you know, I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said, that government is best which governs least. Allows us to run our own affairs, but simply adds to our lives a modicum of safety. But other than that, they stay out. But now we have not only the nanny state. It's one thing to have a nanny state that attempts to care for you from cradle to grave, but now we have a militaristic, imperialistic state that wants to put you in the grave. What we have, as I said last month, is a strange new phenomenon, a matrix-created reality. Planet Earth as grand theater, as illusion. It's quite mind-boggling. And we all were feasted to this grand theater this very week with the supposed killing of Osama bin Laden. I want to talk to you today about Osama bin Laden and much more, because I want you to understand that this world is that they built all around us is nothing more than stagecraft. It was Shakespeare, of course, William Shakespeare, the great British playwright, who said that the whole world is a stage. And, you know, we each come on, we have our bit parts, and we come on and play for a while, and then we leave. Truman Capote, the famous, really a depraved writer, who wrote the best-selling book, which became a big movie, In Cold Blood, said every man is famous for 15 minutes. Every person is famous for 15 minutes. Of course, it seems that some people have more than their share of time. But every person's got to be famous for 15 minutes. Some people come on the stage and off the stage, but what we do know is that everything is a stage. Stagecraft. And it seems like the people who are better at performing stagecraft, or at least creating it, you know, the producers, the directors, the stunt men and women, they get greatly rewarded for their efforts in creating this stagecraft in the world. Some years ago, not too long ago, there was a movie with Jim Carrey, the comedian and actor. It was entitled The Truman Show. It had nothing to do with Harry Truman, former president. I do believe the name was important. True Man, T-R-U-M-A-N, but True Man. Well, evidently, this was not True Man. It was True Man, all right, in a sense, this 1998 American drama film. Jim Carrey played the part of a Truman Burbank. And from his birth, from the cradle, they had created a fake world all around him, an entire town all around him. All of his friends, he grew up and got a job working, and he stayed in this little town, and they never would let him leave. He always dreamed about traveling to places, but he was bound to that created world. So it was a real person, a true man, who was living in a world of constructed reality. He was unaware that he was living in a pseudo-fake world. And finally, he woke up, realized that something was off, and attempted to leave. But everywhere he went, he was blocked from leaving. And then finally he discovered, by the way, it was said that the cameras were on him 24 hours a day, and everybody was watching. And it was a reality show. We have all these reality TV shows. And this was the most popular show of all. Billions of people watched The Truman Show. But poor Truman Burbank had no idea that he was playing his role, and that even his wife was somebody they had chosen for him. She didn't really love him at all. The movie won many nomination for the Academy Award, won a, I think, Golden Globe Award and all those kind of things. And, you know, I thought about that movie. It's quite an entertaining movie in a sense, and yet very sad. Because like Truman, most people are living in a simulated fake world. And again, like Truman, they don't realize that everything that they see around them has been manufactured, is simulated, is not real. It's a virtual reality, we call it in the cyber computer world. A cyber created reality. Virtual reality. You know, President Clinton, after he left office, gave a speech in which he said, it's gotten to the point now where a president of the United States can be a virtual reality puppet. He can be made to look like he's in command and control of the United States as our leader. He's elected. He goes to the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, but he's a virtual creation. He's not even real. I suppose with lasers. You can create images of automobiles and people and pets and machines and automotive things, and they will appear to be real. They will move about. Images will talk to you. Brings to mind the image of the beast of Revelation 13. The image that will be created, image of the beast, and he will walk and talk, and people will believe that he's alive. And no doubt he will influence the minds of billions of people. In what way? Well, to believe the lie. It is always, my friend, the truth versus the lie. This is the essence of the conflict in which you cannot avoid, nor can I. We're caught up in it. You cannot escape it. Truman Burbank in the movie Truman tried every which way to escape, and he kept being foiled. They kept bringing him back and stopping him. But finally, one day, he discovered the truth. Purely by accident, but he discovered it. You know, I said in my books, I've quoted Sir Winston Churchill, who said that every man, every woman, at one time or another in their life, come up against the truth with a capital T. And it's so powerful, it's so unbelievable, unimaginable to what they would normally think that it knocks them down. Have you ever been knocked down by the truth? I have. And when you're knocked down and you're just amazed, Sir Winston Churchill said that most people just get up, dust himself off, and then go about their business as if nothing had ever happened. But some, he said, are changed. When they're knocked down by the truth, when they get off their feet, it causes a mental, even a heart, H-E-A-R-T, a heart process, and they become changed people. This last week, we have witnessed what I am. Well, I don't have to tell you what I believe. It is just truth. If you don't believe it, well, then that's all right. You know, just like the New Age occultists say, you have your truth, I have my truth. That's the problem in the world. Everybody thinks they have their own truth, but there is only one truth. There's no Hindu truth, Buddhist truth, Church of Wicca truth, or Judaic truth. There's no Judeo-Christianity. What kind of nonsense is that? The Jews despise and hate and crucified Jesus. So you can't have a religion called Judeo-Christianity. If you do, you're insane. You're a double-minded person, and you will be unstable in all of your ways. You can't have a Hindu Christianity. Anton LaVey didn't pray to Jesus. He prayed to Satan. There's no satanic Christianity. I've never heard a person say, I get drunk because I'm a Christian. Have you? A man say, well, I cheat on my wife, but that's not because I'm a Christian. No, that doesn't compute. There can be no reality. That is a lie. You cheat on your wife because you're a cheater. You're a liar. You have no respect for yourself. You have no respect for your wife or your family. That's why you do it. Some years ago, a man and a wife came to me, and the lady claimed that she didn't love her husband anymore because she had found her soulmate. God had revealed to her this other man was her soulmate, so she wanted to leave her husband. I said, listen, lady, I didn't call her lady, call her by her name. If you want to leave your husband, that's tragic. Well, leave him, but don't tell me that God told you that he's found a soulmate for you. What kind of nonsense is that? Well, she said, you know, I've been going to this new church where they teach a positive Christianity. It's called Unity Church. Have you ever heard of that? I said, oh, yeah, I know all about Unity. She said, well, we believe in past lives. We've had lovers and husbands and wives, and I believe this man that I found and I'm having an affair with, he was my husband in a past life. How convenient. Don't create a fictitious religion, a surrealistic, unreal world around you just because your flesh wants to do a certain thing. Admit what you are. You're a cheater. You're a liar. Don't bring God into it. You'll wish you hadn't have done that. Just look in the mirror in the morning and say, I'm a cheater. I'm a liar. And if you're determined to go about your business, then go about it. That would be tragic, but billions of people seem to do it all the time. Now, the thing about Osama bin Laden and his supposed death, I want to bring out some facts in that. Now, first of all, I told you this was going to happen. I told you here on Power of Prophecy that Osama bin Laden was dead. He died back in 2001. Within a few months of 9/11 happening, by the way, Osama died of natural causes. He was in Dubai, the country of Dubai in the Middle East, at the American Hospital. It's actually called the American Hospital. And he had a very serious kidney disease, was on dialysis, and was in his last months of life. He worked for the CIA. He was a CIA operative and had been active in a number of capacities, working for the CIA since he was a young man, and graduated actually from Oxford University in Great Britain. And Osama bin Laden was visited by the FBI, and because he had been the CIA, and because he'd been a faithful operative of the CIA and the Saudi Arabian government, he was taken from the hospital, since it was his last days, by American aircraft, he and his entire entourage and family, and brought back to Saudi Arabia, where he passed away. Now, there are some other versions of his death, but I received this one from the French intelligence, and I believe it to be accurate. In any case, what I want you to know is that on May the 1st of this year, no Navy SEAL team killed Osama bin Laden. Wayne Madsen, a well-respected, well-known intelligence analyst, said this on May the 3rd. He said, the bin Laden death looks like staged terror. Staged. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, very distinguished man with a doctorate, but really some people credit Reaganomics with him. He was in the Reagan administration as the undersecretary of the Treasury. I can't remember, but had a very high position with the Reagan administration. He says this morning's headline, he's referring to the Osama bin Laden so-called death, has the odor of a staged event. Hakmid Gul was on the Alex Jones show May the 3rd. He says the event that we were feasted to on television was a make-believe drama created to help kick off and jumpstart the Obama presidential election campaign. It was the stuff of folklore, said Hamid Gul, for legend-making and the ballad. Legend-making and the ballad. Now, who is Hakmid Gul? He was a 3-star general in the Pakistani army. He's retired now. But he was head of the Pakistani intelligence service. He would know. And General Gul, of course, reiterated the fact that Osama bin Laden has been dead for some years now. On my website, Power Prophecy, a few years ago, I gave to you, I think it's still on there. You can watch the video of the former president of Pakistan, Benazir Bhutto, who was on the Great Britain, very popular TV talk show, the David Frost show. And she was asked about Osama bin Laden, and Miss Bhutto said, well, he's already dead. He's been dead for years. We know that. I know how he died. She said, what America and Israel have done is a myth. By the way, Benazir Bhutto was the most popular woman in the very large nation state of Pakistan, and she was at that time running for president again. And she was expected to carry probably 80% of the popular vote. But she was the lady who knew too much, and just weeks after the David Frost show, she was assassinated, shot to death. doesn't pay evidently to know too much, does it? Now, we supposedly got the facts of the case of Osama bin Laden's death, but the government keeps changing the facts. Hour on hour, we get different stories. Until finally, the new White House press spokesman, you know, Gibbs, was replaced by a man named Jay Carney. He came out and told the press, "I'm confused myself." Now, this is quite interesting because I have a picture here in my hands that supposedly is a picture of the Situation Room at the White House, where you see the head of the CIA and the Vice President, Biden, and Air Force generals, and the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, and yes, Barack Hussein Obama, President of the United States, and others, all intently watching a television screen. And we're told that they were receiving a closed-circuit television report. Live. They were watching the attack on Osama bin Laden's Islamabad or Abbottabad, which is a city near Islamabad. The attack on Osama bin Laden's palatial mansion. Let's just call it that. That's what they call it. A sumptuous mansion. Ah, we finally cornered the boogeyman, Osama bin Laden. And as the Navy SEAL team, which very ominously was called Team 6, yes, believe it or not, Team 6, on that day, May 1st, as they attacked with their helicopters and went into and began to fire and were met by quote-unquote resistance from Osama bin Laden and his wife's and his, the who knows who was there. And there are these pictures. They're all watching it. It's like a live televised execution. First, we were told that the order was given, the government told us the order was given by Obama, find Osama bin Laden and kill him. Then they suddenly changed it and said, well, we were told to capture him. No, no, we were told to kill him. No, no, we were told to just capture him. No, no, we were told to kill. They couldn't make up their mind which one they, what order they got from Obama. You see, evidently they were getting conflicting advice. One day, the president of Pakistan or Syria or somebody would call and say, you know, it just doesn't look right to kill a person if they're going to give up. So you really can't say. And at first they said, well, he had a gun and he, a machine gun. And he was shooting back, so we had to kill him. And he was such an evil person, and he was so cowardly that he used his wife and another woman as human shields, not thinking that we wouldn't fire on them as he was shooting at us. And so we had to shoot one of them, one of the women too, and then kill him. Then the story came out that no, he didn't have a gun at all. But they decided to kill him because they didn't feel like the story got out. And if the attack had all been true, it may have actually been a fact. That it was decided to kill him whether he gave up or not, just to murder him, unarmed, hands up in the air. I give up. No, you don't. You're dead. And shoot him. Why? Let me explain something to you, my friends. You see, if you do a little research, you find things. Did you know that Osama bin Laden has never been indicted for 9/11? He supposedly is the mass murderer of 3,000 people. But it just so happens that our FBI chief, Robert Mueller, has admitted in past years that there's no warrant out for his arrest. Did you just understand what I said? There has never been a warrant out for the arrest of Osama bin Laden. Why? Because they don't know that he's committed a crime. They have no evidence. Now you can watch America's Most Wanted every week, but you will never see Osama bin Laden on the Most Wanted. He was not on the FBI's Most Wanted list. Now this is very curious. You see, there's an old saw in the justice system which goes this way. A federal attorney, that's sort of like a local, you know, state's attorney or district attorney, a federal attorney could indict with a grand jury a ham sandwich. Huh? Well, what that really means is the standard of being indicted is so low that grand juries would indict a ham sandwich. They indict anybody. Because the grand jury sort of, you know, if there's any kind of evidence, they just go ahead and indict the guy and let him be on trial. If he's found innocent, well, he's acquitted. That's it. If he's found guilty, okay. But we're going to indict anyway. Anybody a federal attorney wants to indict, the grand jury will go along with. Well, why didn't they indict Osama bin Laden? Because there was no proof he'd ever committed the crime of 9/11. And so there was no arrest warrant for him. And if they could have, without any evidence, if they could have indicted him, and if they had placed him on the top 10 wanted list of the FBI over the last decade or so, and they were to capture him to bring him to justice, they would have no evidence. Well, no, wait, his mastermind, one of his top guys, who was that now? You know, was it Khalif Sheikh Mohammed or whatever? Yes, Khalif Sheikh Mohammed. He was the mastermind who worked with Osama bin Laden on the 9/11 attack. He admitted that it was Osama that did it. After we waterboarded him 183 times. That's what the Defense Department says they did. Over a period of years, they took this Khalif Sheikh Mohammed and waterboarded him. In other words, tortured him 183 times. Whereupon he finally admitted. Friends, evidence cannot be admitted in a federal court where the witness or the accused was tortured. Now, you can do that back in the Soviet Union days. And I'm sure Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky did it to thousands in their mock or show trials. It was even done at Nuremberg, where the Americans and the Russians and the British tortured Germans and forced them to lie about the horrible things they had done in the concentration camps. Mock trials. Show trials. But in a real court of law, with a real jury, you can't convict a guy based on evidence you've obtained by torture. So Osama bin Laden could not be tried. You're going to have to murder him. You can't bring him to justice. He cannot be put on trial. There has not been a crime committed. And in fact, friends, you and I both know that 9/11 was an inside job, was a hoax. And if anybody needs to go to trial, if anybody needs to be executed for their crime after being tried, it's George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and a whole lot of the Zionist monsters that are running America, including a gentleman named Barack Hussein Obama. All of these people need to be put on trial. And I assure you, there's plenty of evidence out there already been produced of the horrible crimes these men have done. And they will be found guilty if there was any justice in this world, and they would be dead from execution. Instead, they claim that Osama was murdered by a Navy SEAL team. And I suspect today even the Navy SEALs are laughing up their sleeves because they know they did no such thing. And this was nothing more than stagecraft by Hollywood Jews and their chief half-blood puppet, Barack Hussein Obama. I've got a lot more to you as we return here at Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We'll learn more about this stagecraft of the killing of Osama bin Laden as we go deeper down the rabbit hole. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, we're talking about a conspiracy. A colossal lie of the death of Osama bin Laden. Recently, Victor Thorne, a good friend of mine, put out a book. And he has me in the book. It's a book entitled Conspiracy Hall of Fame. Victor Thorne's Conspiracy Hall of Fame. And he lists in the book the 20 individuals who Thorne believes are the top conspiracy theorists in modern history. And when the book came in, I was sent a review copy. To my surprise, I was one of the top 20. I don't really think I deserve it, but as I said in my newsletter this month, my May 2011 newsletter, at any given time, Tex Mars has, you know, maybe 1,000 establishment scorpions stinging him on the back. And criticizing me and accusing me of all kinds of things that are not true. So since I have these establishment enemies, it's always nice to have a friend who says something good about me. So I'm going to take it. I may not deserve to be one of the top 20 conspiracy theorists and my name put in this book, but I tell you what, I'm just going to go ahead and take it. I have plenty of people calling me names, lying about me. So it's nice to have somebody that says something good about me for a change. I appreciate that, Mr. Thorne. And he has a quickie, two pages on each of his 20 heroes, and then he sort of talks about conspiracies in general and such. The book's only 57 pages in all, paperback. But I like it because it has pictures of each of the 20 people he's chosen and some of the reasons why he believes they're among the top 20 conspiracy theorists. And by the way, I've mentioned to you before, I don't believe in conspiracy theory, really. I believe in conspiracy science. And I believe these men, every one of them, and one woman, by the way, a woman named Mae Brussels, I think they're all, some of them are dead, of course, have passed on. But I believe they were and are conspiracy scientists, conspiracy researchers. The world calls us a theorist, but much of what we report is not theory at all, but is fact. It's documented. It's the world that puts forth theories. There is a government theory that on May the 1st of 2011, Osama bin Laden was killed by a Navy SEAL team of the United States. That's not only theory, it's a lie. And it's my job as a conspiracy scientist to give you the proof and document and explain why the lie. So anyway, this is why I appreciate the book by Victor Thorne called The Conspiracy Hall of Fame. So I've been inducted, I guess you might say, in the Conspiracy Hall of Fame. But people greater than me, men greater than me, are members of it. George Orwell is there. A good friend of mine, Dr. Anthony Sutton, who wrote The Secret Establishment, the first book on the Order of Skull and Bones, is there. My good friend Des Griffin, who wrote Third Reich of the Rich. Fourth Reich. Jerry was just telling me here. Jerry Barrett, our producer in the studio, was saying that it was Fourth Reich of the Rich. Thank you very much. The next Reich after Hitler, right? Fourth Reich of the Rich. Jim Keith, remember he wrote the book on black helicopters across America? Quite an interesting book. And he also wrote about UFOs and things like that. And then he died an early death. Quite mysterious. Gary Allen, who back in the 60s wrote the classic Non Dare Call It a Conspiracy, he's one of the people mentioned, as is a man who I greatly admired and respected, Eustace Mullins. Eustace Mullins, who wrote the classic book Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Well, all of these people and more are in the book, and you can have a copy for yourself. It's only $10. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. Total of $15. Ask for the book, Conspiracy Hall of Fame. Since there's never been a book like that, I'd like you to have it. And then you might make up your own list. I'd like to know from you who you think deserves to be on the top 20. Maybe you say, well, how about Alex Jones? Okay, well, tell me about it. How about this person or that person? Maybe some will even want to put Victor Thorne. I noticed that Michael Collins Piper, you know, we've had him a number of times in this radio program. He's written books like The New Jerusalem, The New Babylon, Final Judgment about who really killed JFK. Oh, by the way, Jim Mars is listed. A lot of people think Jim Mars and Tex Mars are the same person. But I'm not going to say one way or the other whether we are. But I know Jim Mars very well. We're very close. Are we the same person? Well, sort of fun to think about, but no. But Jim Mars is a great conspiracy scientist himself. Well, in any case, the book, Victor Thorne's Conspiracy Hall of Fame, Conspiracy Hall of Fame, $15 postpaid. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go online to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. You'll see it on the homepage there. You'll also see my new book that's going to be shipped probably about May the 17th. I'm hoping that certainly by June the 1st, if you've made a pre-order, if you pre-ordered the coming classic, we'll call it that. I think it's going to be. I mean to tell you, this book is a knockout. It's entitled Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Some truth-telling evidence about Rothschild, Israel, Judaism, Zionism. Man, you've never seen anything like this. Another one of my big books, you know, like Codex Magica or Conspiracy World. Again, if you want it, you can pre-order it. It's, I believe it's $30 postpaid because it's a big book, big as a telephone book. You know, one of those kind that Texmars is sort of getting infamous for. That's right, infamous. Probably have 2,000 establishment scorpions stinging me on the back after this one comes out. You can get that book, too, on powerofprophecy.com. Of course, you can call us. Our phone number here to order the book during the workday is Monday through Friday, is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the matrix of, I should call it the, of unreality. You know, Henry Ford, the great industrialist and founder of Ford Motor Company and the assembly line, once was asked about history, and he said, well, he gave a three-word answer. He said, history is bunk, meaning nonsense. He knew that much of what we call history is simply lies. America, my friend, has tragically become the land of liars, murderers, and deceivers. And we know what the end result of that is. Nowhere is this sad truth more in evidence than in the colossal theatrical production surrounding the reported death of Osama bin Laden. Now, I've long awaited, patiently, if you might say, this sickening moment when our president would come forth and say, we got him. We got Osama. And now our traitorous, evil, lying president, Barack Obama, he's strutted before the cameras. It's very interesting. You see, he's been under a lot of pressure for his lies. He was forced by Donald Trump even to put out his birth certificate, finally. But it turns out that experts on what they call Photoshop, in other words, creating fictitious documents, have now come forth on the internet to say it's a fake. He's hoaxed us. His birth certificate was created. And when you have billions of dollars and all kinds of experts to create fake documents in the CIA and the KGB, excuse me, I didn't mean KGB, FBI. No, I said it right the first time. When you've got all these people at your disposal, they should be able to give you a better document, but it seems like the experts on forged documents say it was forged. It's not even a real birth certificate. The governor of Hawaii had already admitted that no such birth certificate existed, but suddenly they produced it after Donald Trump had caused a national sensation. Now, Donald Trump, of course, is the top dog on a TV show called, a reality show, of course, called The Apprentice. And it seems that Obama wanted to repay Mr. Trump, and so he broke right into the middle of the showing on May 1st of The Apprentice. In other words, he sort of ruined Donald Trump's show by coming out with a big press conference that lasted just a few minutes saying, we got Osama. I'm getting confused myself. There's so much lying going on. You know, be still my heart. It's hard to keep track of all the lies that contradict each other in this administration. This is the gang that can't lie straight. Even Jay Carney, as I said, went out to meet the press and said, I'm confused too. They change their story so often they didn't have it down pat. Strangely, though, the basic script was there. And let's go over this script of Osama bin Laden. I call this the case of the papier-mâché hero, that's Obama, and the fictitious boogeyman, that would be Osama. Sometimes I get them mixed up. Osama, Obama, what is it? You know, they're all, what can I say? All fictitious. Papier-mâché hero, Obama, versus fictitious boogeyman, Osama. Now, I had sort of written a script about how this was going to come out. What they would say about their so-called killing of Osama. I thought I would put it online and put it in my newsletter, but I never got around to it, although I did have an article online about the Big Brother in 1984 and how it related to the Osama bin Laden case. You may remember that article. But let's look at it. Here's the story we got. Now, I know it's changed here and there, but here it sort of is. Osama was hiding out in a luxurious mansion near the city of Islamabad and the city of Abbottabad in Pakistan. Not a cave, mind you. Not some primitive conditioned cave, but a luxurious mansion. Ah, yes, this was a perfect touch, this bit of pageantry. And after all, that's the world we live in, a created world of pageantry and illusion. And by this little silliness, this lie, the Muslims are thus being told that their great leader, their fearless leader, the fictitious boogeyman Osama, was not suffering deprivation at all in this crude and primitive cave lifestyle, but instead, when caught and killed, was enjoying himself in sumptuous surroundings. Oh, how this tarnishes the image of their great leader, Osama. Good job, Mr. CIA scriptwriter. Now, we've all seen the supposed compound or home that was $1 million. But you know, evidently the real estate people there in Islamabad and Abbottabad say the place wasn't worth anywhere near, probably wasn't even worth $100,000. And all it is a bunch of junky concrete blocks. Certainly didn't look like $1 million. And remember, for $1 million mansion, you get a whole lot in a place like Pakistan, a third world country. But I'm telling you the truth, the real estate people in Islamabad, Pakistan, laughed and said, $1 million mansion? That's not $1 million mansion. And it turned out that the place was about 100 yards, that's about a football field, away from the Pakistani equivalent of West Point. The military academy of Pakistan was only 100 yards away with some 5,000 Pakistani soldiers attached there. And Osama, for 5 years, has been hiding out right next door to him. Of course, this makes everybody mad in Pakistan. How dare them to let Osama bin Laden, this horrible monster, stay right there only 100 yards from their military academy. We've got to punish Pakistan for covering this up. Of course, it seems that Pakistan just recently was complaining about American Air Force, actually CIA, Predator drone aircraft, bombing and killing innocent civilians. Well, this will sort of teach them to shut up, won't it? We'll go in and attack right next door to their military academy. Let me tell you what that really was, friends. Down here at Fort Hood, Texas, they have an actual little town, a little village all set up. And they practice attacking it. They go door to door. And when I was Pope Air Force Base as an Air Force officer, next door we had Fort Bragg, and there was the Special Forces. And out in the boonies there in North Carolina, they had set up actual little villages as if they were attacking, and they would practice. These are like dress rehearsals for the real thing. Every big city, their fire department has a building that they use, and they light fires, and then they have the firemen go in and put them out. That's what military people do. That's how they practice. That's what those cadets of the military academy in Pakistan were doing. That's what that compound was. That's why it had some, you know, barbed wire rolled around and had these things. They used that for practice for their, you know, attacking you know, some building or some house. That was not owned by any individual. That was part of the Pakistani military academy's structures. So we got permission from the Pakistani government to use that building to attack it and film it and claim that we were attacking Osama bin Laden. What a bunch of baloney. They say that first they said that he fought back with a machine gun and he used his wife and another woman as shields. And it comes out that no, he really didn't use women as shields. Then, well, yes, his wife tried to stop the attack and they shot her in the leg. And then, oh, well, we made a mistake. He didn't have a gun. He tried to resist us. He resisted us, and that's why we killed him. Well, then he did have a gun if he tried to resist you. Well, no, not really. You can resist through other ways. Yeah, how? What did he do? Try to spit on him? What did he throw tomatoes at him? As I told you, in real life, they could have never given the guy a trial anyway because they had no evidence because he didn't do it. He didn't do 9/11. Now, very predictably, in my script that I had already written before this ever occurred, the first thing you'd have would be to have congressmen to come out and say, this just proves how much we need the Patriot Act. This proves how much we needed that National Intelligence Reform Act. And we need to keep torturing people. We need the American Gulag prison camps. Well, predictably, Congressman Peter King, who's a Jew, came out and said, the way we found out where Obama was, or Osama, see, I keep getting confused. The way I found out where we found out where Osama was we tortured people. Now, he didn't use the word torture. We used coercive interrogation techniques, waterboarding. And that's how we got the information on where Osama bin Laden was holed up. If we didn't keep this torture going, these gulag camps, and arresting people and taking them away and incarcerating them and torturing them, if we didn't keep doing that, well, we wouldn't get this kind of information. We've got to keep torturing people. We've got to keep these gulag camps going. We've got to keep arresting people under the Patriot Act, even American citizens, and taking them away in the den of night and not needing, we don't have any warrants or arrest warrants or any evidence against them. We just take them because they're suspects. We got to keep doing that. And it's paid off. See, there we got Osama. It's valuable. You know, just like the TV show 24, we got to have Jack Bauer. We got to torture those people. Yeah, it's the American way. We've always tortured. Remember how George Washington got that British colonel and poured hot lead down his mouth and made him confess where General Cornwallis was hanging out across the Delaware? Don't you remember that? You know, somehow that I don't recall that incident. Don't you remember when General MacArthur got General Tojo and hung him by the toes and got a poker and got it hot and then gouged his eyes out? And that's how we got information that we won the Battle of Iwo Jima. Don't you remember that? Torture. We tortured them. We tortured the Japs. I don't recall that. It must be new history. Now, you see, when Obama became president, he said he was going to stop all these gulags, going to close them all up, get them on all of them. And one of the first things he did as president was he ordered no more coercive interrogation, no more waterboarding. So if we found out where Osama bin Laden was hiding out in Pakistan through the waterboarding torture, from the time we got the evidence, which had to be at least 2.5 years ago when Obama was first elected, because he made people quit the torture. So we got the information by torturing people 2.5 years ago, and it took 2.5 years to get around to, huh? Try to figure that out in your head. We have not, according to Obama in the White House, tortured people for over 2 years. But through torture, we got the information to know who was his courier, and we followed him back to this compound in Abbottabad, and that's how we knew. Thank God for torture, Congressman Peter King says. And Bill O'Reilly says, yay, man, amen. More torture. See how it works out so good? Now, Congressman Dan Lundgren from California, Republican on the Homeland Security Committee, came forth and said, isn't it a coincidence in just a few more days Congress is going to vote on whether to renew the Patriot Act? What a coincidence. May 1st, we kill Osama. How did we get to know where Osama is? Well, because of the Patriot Act, which takes away the people's rights, that gives us the power to arrest anyone and take them away. in the dead of night without any constitutional rights at all. Isn't it coincidental that sitting in Congress was the Patriot Act ready to be renewed when this went down? Now, then we are told that Osama bin Laden was shot in the head because he tried to resist, I don't know, with his fingers, with tomatoes or, you know, cantaloupes or whatever he tried to resist with. But he tried to resist and we shot him in the head. In fact, we shot him in the left eye. In the left eye. They made it very clear to us that he was shot in the left eye. Of course, this was a put down for the Muslims. You see, in the Islamic religion, there is the belief that there will come an Antichrist on earth. An Antichrist. Just like in the Christian religion. We believe in the coming of the man 666, the Antichrist. Well, so do the Muslims believe in the coming of Antichrist. And believe it or not, the Muslims say that Jesus is going to come again. They don't believe he's the Son of God. They say he's a great prophet. But he's going to come again and defeat Satan and the Antichrist. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Now, the Antichrist, they say, who is to come, he will be able to be recognized and identified. He will be a one-eyed man, it says in Muslim theology. A one-eyed man, for he will be blind. He will have an injury to his left eye, the Antichrist. So what were they trying to do with this little stupid CIA script? They were trying to say, yes, he was Osama bin Laden was the equivalent of the Antichrist. He had an injury to his left eye. Now, then they tell us that the guy, Osama bin Laden, was taken to the Arabian Sea and given a Navy burial with full military honors. And they did it in the Muslim way. The only thing is the Muslims have no sea way of death. They believe in being buried, you know, on planet Earth, not in the water. So that was a fake right there. But it was very convenient. And by the way, how did they know it was Osama? Well, they had a DNA test. Now, you know, that's amazing. I didn't know they had portable DNA kits. Did you? Sometimes it takes weeks to get a DNA identification. But they already had DNA from Osama. Where they got it, I don't know. What was it? They went to his wife and got it from his toothbrush back when he used to live in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. But in any case, they had some old DNA and they matched it with some, you know, cells from the dead Osama, and they said it matches. It matches. Huh. That's how they knew. They used DNA. Now, I know that really goes over big with the CSI crowd, but that's ridiculous. And you and I know it's ridiculous. And that's why they have no body. Well, we didn't want to bury his body in the ground because the Muslims may have made it a shrine. Yeah, well, they could have taken it. How much desert is there in Pakistan? Why not just take him and just drop him out of a helicopter in the mountains of East Pakistan? He'd have never been found. The buzzards would have got him. And if you buried him in the desert where nobody knew, there could be no shrine built. The fact that they had to take the body quickly away and dump it at sea tells you that there was nobody. What a bunch of baloney. Liars. Liars. The one-eyed man, the Dajjal of Islam is dead. By the way, the May 1st date. They had to do it May 1st. May 1st is the communist high holy day. Remember they had all the May Day parades at the Kremlin in Russia? May 1st is the great satanic and witchcraft holy day. Remember the ancient pagans would put up the phallus symbol, the maypole, and march around it and then have all the sex orgies and drinking? May the 1st. The Jews and communists who founded international labor unions to this day celebrate on May 1st as International Solidarity Day. May 1st, it had to be May 1st, that Osama bin Laden was killed. There it's symbolic. Celebration of death. Bloodlust. Now, friends, it's very painful to me to talk about bloodlust, but that's what it was. And, you know, in the report from Iron Mountain, that secret report that was revealed, that was reality. In the report from Iron Mountain, the government decided in place of world wars like World War III, World War II, World War I, to manipulate the public, there would have to be blood rituals, blood ceremonies, and the bloodlust nature of human beings would have to be aroused. Now, I want to tell you right now, it grieved me greatly that supposedly in the Situation Room of the White House, the president and the general and all the big officials were all watching this on TV, watching the death of Osama bin Laden, we're told. And then after it was announced to the public, big crowds went out all over America to celebrate. USA, USA, USA. This is not America. First of all, they're so stupid, they didn't know the whole thing was a hoax. Second, they didn't know who really did 9/11. Or instead of saying USA, USA, they'd all been chanting, hang George Bush, hang Dick Cheney. And now, since he's responsible for so many thousands of dead in Afghanistan and Iraq, hang Barack Hussein Obama. You know, this differs from the Christian view of things. Listen to what God said in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say to them, this is what God is telling the prophet, say to them, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God has no pleasure in the death of even the wicked. I don't know anything about Osama bin Laden. I know that he didn't die May the 1st. But I know that God had no pleasure in his death. He said so. This is bloodlust in America. It was stirred up by our leaders. Celebrate death. In the Bible it says, all them who hate God love death. There is no tender mercy in America today. I have mercy for the 3,000 people who died on 9/11. I ache. I suffer in my mind for the deaths of those innocent people and their families. The Bible uses the very words tender mercy. These people, though, have no tender mercy. The people who killed the 3,000 on 9/11, who are leaders who are hiding today behind a masquerade of lies. This is Talmudic justice. This is Jewish Talmudism in display. This is revenge. This is death, blood, lust. This is not American culture. This is Talmudic, satanic culture. I hate it. Every Christian should love life. Jesus Christ said, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Let the dead bury the dead. Frederick the great leader of Germany back in the 18th century said, it is a weakness, in fact, stinginess of heart, not to speak well of one's enemies and not to pay them the honor they deserve. But that was the old style. That was the old culture. That was the old America. Now we celebrate death and scream and curse our enemies. But I say again, God takes no pleasure in the death, not even the death of the evildoers. But instead, he wishes that all would turn from their way and live. My friends, do you want to be part of the dead, or would you like to live forever? It's your choice. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been going down the rabbit hole today, seeing what we could see. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.